the Old Testament this morning comes from the 24th chapter of Joshua, verses 1 through 3 and 14 to 25, and may be found on page 215 in your pew Bible. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. The epistle lesson is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 13, and may be found in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles on page 28. This is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came, also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Did you read the sign out front? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Now, that's looking at something more deep than, you know, did we put our tie on this morning? Did we have our wives check us before we left and make sure that the tie actually goes with the rest of the outfit? Now, that's being prepared in one way. When you get ready to take a trip, you know, check the oil, check the air in the tires, make sure the gas tank reads something north of empty. Those are things that we do in ordinary life to prepare. When a teacher gives us a homework assignment, it's best that we work on it diligently the night before, not wait till the morning before or morning of and the hour before your class starts. That's being prepared. And if you've done all that, well, then you may not ace the test, but at least you've done everything you can to be ready for it. Well, Jesus, in this discourse that we have, these 10 bridesmaids or 10 virgins, as some of the commentaries and some of the translations say, it's part of a discourse that Jesus is having in the latter days with his 12 disciples as they prepare for his entry into Jerusalem and his crucifixion. And they have asked him again and again, well, what will be the signs? Show us the signs, Lord, or tell us of the signs of what's and how this is going to be. And Jesus usually tells them in either a parable or some other form. In this one, he's saying, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Now, he's speaking in future terms. He's saying the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Now, this is not how it is in the earth. Don't look at it that way. This is how things are going to be in heaven. It'll be like 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, you remember that the culture of the day, a wedding would be one of the highest cultural community occurrences. And everything, everybody wanted every facet of that to go correctly, because some people felt that if that didn't go well, then the marriage wouldn't go so well. And we all know, probably even today, we put too much emphasis on how the wedding goes and not enough emphasis on the marriage. But that aside, and whether they're lamps or torches, the translations read better. The commentators that I've read, it says this interpretation of lamp should probably be more better read as a torch. Because a lamp, you wouldn't be standing outside with one of these lamps. You've seen the culture of the day. You'd have basically an earthen flask with a wick, and you have it lit. And you would be standing out there in the outside where there's wind, there's probably rain or something like that, and you'd be standing out there with this earthen lamp? Probably not. So the word that's used is actually for an outdoors torch, and that torch would be, you know, rags or cloths or something wrapped around a stick, and that stick would be put into this flask of oil, saturated, and then they would light that. And it wouldn't last very long. It would probably have to be relit multiple times. So this process is a lengthy process. So you need to really be prepared. Well, the five of them were foolish, and Five of them were wise. Well, which one are you? I mean, that's the question that comes up, you know. Kingdom of heaven, which one am I? Well, I'm certainly not one of those silly ones, or I'm going to be one of those sensible and wise ones, right? So I'm going to take all precautions. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps, or torches, as the translation might be. And, you know, everything works great, right? Even if you control the wedding, when the bride starts walking down the aisle, when the minister starts, all of those things, when you sequence those things and you time it all out, that stuff pretty much can work as you plan. But what happens after that? You know, the wedding feast starts and people are showing up and they've got to cut the cake. There's the serving line. There's the greeting line. There's the best man has to introduce the new couple. And then all of that happens. And then towards the end, the loving, treasured couple go out to whatever vehicle transportation there is, and people are throwing rice at them and all kinds of other things, and they zoom off. Right? Well, from the time they have said their vows until the time they leave could take 2 hours, could take 3 hours. Who knows how long it's going to take? Well, this wedding process takes a lot of time. And guess what happens? The bridegroom is delayed. Now, keep in mind, there are three aspects to this. There's the bridegroom, which is relevant to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the return of the King, and the bride, which is the church. And the bridesmaids, these ladies, have a role to play. You and I have a role to play in this whole sequence, and we need to be prepared to do it correctly. As the bridegroom was delayed, what happens? All of them fell asleep. Now, even the ones who were prepared and the ones who weren't so prepared, all of us are going to fall asleep. All of us, we can't stay awake 24/7. We know that. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out and greet him. Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps or got their torches ready. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps or our torches have gone out. Well, this is one of those challenges. As you read in the newsletter this month, I chose this. Yes, we need to be prepared. But probably one of the things that we miss in this, when you read the response, the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. Why wouldn't they be willing to share what they have with these other people so that they, these other bridesmaids, so that they can all light their lamps for as long as it takes, or light their torches for as long as it takes, and celebrate and be part of that process? Why not? As much as I love my mom, as sainted as she was, she cannot save me. She could not save me. Your wife, your spouse, as much as they love us, as much as they love us and try, they can't save us. Christ Jesus is the only one who saves us, and Christ Jesus has to have that personal relationship with you and I. He already went on the cross. He died on the cross for you, absolutely, but you have to accept it. If you don't accept it, you don't get it. If you don't accept it, you don't get it. The only one who is going to be able to make that decision for you, that decision that's life-changing, life-altering, and eternally impactful on you is you. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done except you accepting. Is it not generous of the five bridesmaids who have the oil to not share what they have? No, the point of this is that you and I must do this ourselves. No one else can do it for us. If we don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, then exactly what happens here at the end, where, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and that door is shut. The other bridesmaids came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you." You have to establish that relationship with Christ and Jesus. You and no other can establish that relationship for you. My mom established that relationship with God a long, long time ago. Marie Felton established that relationship with God a long time ago, and she was ready. She was ready Monday last week. She was ready a week before that. She was ready Wednesday. She was ready Thursday. She was ready Friday. And guess what? She went home Friday. But as sainted a lady as she is, she can't save you and she can't save me and she can't even save her dear granddaughters. As much as, boy, when you heard them get up and say, the impression that she left on them. Marie didn't save them. Her example brought them to the Savior who will save them. But they have to have that relationship with Him as you and I need to. So when it says, are you ready? Or are you prepared? Look at that you. Turn it around and look at you. If you need a mirror, go stand in front of it. God has already done everything necessary for your eternal life. He did it through Christ Jesus. And when Christ went back to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit stayed with us. The Holy Spirit is with us alive now, today, right here in this space. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I can ask the question until I turn blue or pass out. The only one that knows the answer to that is you. The only one that can respond affirmatively in a manner and fashion that guarantees your eternal life is you. Nobody can do it for you. We can all be praying. We can all be chipping in for everybody else. But you're the one. You're the one that's either prepared or not prepared. And if you're prepared, we'll all see you there. Peace and grace, shalom to you. I was going to tie in that Joshua piece for, I don't know about you, I don't know about anybody else, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How is it with your house? How is it with you? Amen. Well, right after that is a hymn of invitation, and this one is one of those that, you know, people, are you, you know, shall we gather at the river? Why? To be baptized? To go down and sing? Somebody going to have a picnic set up for us down there? This "Shall We Gather by the River," number 723, it's a hymn of invitation. And what I've... You know, one of the things that's powerful that maybe we've lost in our tradition, in our legacy, is we have become so enamored and so wrapped up in a liturgy and how things are supposed to flow. And this happens, then this happens, and then this happens, and then we get up and we leave. And we all stand up at the same point in time. We all pray at the same point in time. We all sit back down at the same point in time. But, you know, when we are singing a hymn of invitation, you know what my job is here? You know what my job is here? Is to proclaim the good news. Word. Order. See for the order of this church. We did that at Charge Conference. You guys did a great job. at Charge Conference and preparing for Charge Conference. And the other is the sacraments, word, order, and sacraments. The sacraments, the baptism, the communion, those are things, that's my job. But you know what? We are all supposed to be doing. When I proclaim the word, that's not me. I could be the worst preacher in the world. But the word of God will not return void. And because there's that word proclaimed, there should be a response. And sometimes the response is you look into that heart of hearts, you look into your soul, and you say, you know what? I'm not as prepared or as ready as I thought I was. And you know what? The only one who's going to get me more ready or better prepared is Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And if I have to come down here during a hymn of invitation and kneel at an altar or stay in the pew and kneel where everybody else is singing and all I'm doing is tearing up and crying because Christ Jesus is saving me, has saved me, then that's what this is for. This hymn of invitation is not for us to just sit back and, wow, preacher's almost done. We're about ready to go and check into lunch. We're going to, well, maybe it is. But the hymn of invitation is for you to respond to the call. Not Ken's call, Christ's call. Not my proclamation, but the very proclamation that Joshua proclaimed to those people. I don't know how everybody else is going to respond, but as for me and my house, I will choose to serve the Lord. So if your if your soul brings you down here, hallelujah. But that's what it's for. Shall we gather at the river? Number 723.